I'll direct your attention to the Executive Committee report. Item 2.1 was presented at the committee meetings and approved unanimously. Item 2.2 and 2.3 are for consideration today. And first is the approval of the resolution of appreciation and registrar emerita status for Ms. Frieda Eggleton.
Stand up, Frieda. Most of you know Frieda, but some of you who may not know her, she graduated in 74 and immediately went to work in what was then called the Office of University School Relations. Frieda and I had the unique opportunity to share a cubicle in both of our first jobs at WKU, and we were the road warriors traveling the state recruiting students. Somehow she got everything west of I-65, and I got everything east of I-65. I'm not sure how she drew that straw, but and it, one of the real pleasures of my career is reuniting with Frieda 17 years ago. And she has been the registrar for 28 years. And we've only had six registrars, and she's the second longest serving among our registrars. And has just been a absolute rock solid administrator, passionate, always accurate, and unwavering in both her commitment and her intent for accuracy. And in a registrar's work, that's an important quality and trait. So she completes a 40-year career at WKU with her retirement the end of this fiscal year. And she will continue to work on a part-time basis with my office doing NCAA certification going forward and other matters that I'm teasing her. She only thinks she's going to be working part-time, but she'll be able to come and go at her own pace. But a real superstar in the WKU family. Thanks, Rita.
Do you have a recommendation?
I have a recommendation that we approve the resolution of appreciation and registrar emerita status for Frieda Eggleton.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That was resounding. Any opposition, be quiet.
But who's going to run graduation?
Congratulations.
All of you have participated in graduations, and you know how flawlessly graduations come off, and that's because of Frieda's attention to detail, and there are few orchestras as well run as she orchestrates our commencement ceremonies. And so, as we engage a search for a new registrar, attention to the
Frieda, how many commencements have you sold?
75.
So gonna be hard, big shoes to fill. The next resolution. Resolution is for John Osborne. John is another individual who attended WKU, started, 1967, John, as a freshman? 68, started as a freshman, graduated, he got a little bit out of sync when he went to Louisville for a few months, thinking he's going to go to work there, but found his way back to Bowling Green pretty quickly and has worked here ever since. Started out as a residence hall director, and has worked his way up to vice president, and has absolutely been an amazing leader on this campus, certainly in my time as president, and his work with our facilities operations and our auxiliary enterprises, but particularly with his oversight of the rebuilding of this campus. And as you all know, we're somewhere around $700 million in construction that's been completed in the last 15 or so years. And John has been the coordinator, the innovator, the visionary for that work, in addition to keeping his eye on a pretty complex set of auxiliary business enterprises over that period of time. And so his is a 41-year career. And so when individuals of Frieda's and John's talents choose to dedicate their entire career to this university, it's worthy of recognition that you're being asked to do here. And John has been a great friend, colleague, and trusted leader on this campus. And we look forward to watching him enjoy his time back and forth from Florida to Bowling Green and a well-deserved retirement. And I just had a hunch he's going to continue to show up for building dedications. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. I recommend the resolution for John Osborne.
Make the motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Any discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Another resounding vote. Direct your attention to 2.1 on the agenda that was recommended by the at the committee meetings, and that was approval of the designated rooms and areas on page 33. And I'll entertain a motion to approve and ratify that recommendation.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and second. Any comments or questions?
I would invite all of you to that dedication ceremony on Don and Irene Disney are just terrific people. They have supported education both in Florida and in Kentucky, and want to do this in memory of his mentor when he worked in the medical center, the hospital in Bowling Green, when he was a student here, and just a wonderful gift of $500,000.
Yes.
And paid over 3 years, I believe, and to dedicate that facility, and we are very pleased with their willingness to support our nursing program in the manner in which they're doing so.
That concludes the action items. I'll direct your attention to the informational items. The summary of the board's president's annual evaluation has been completed. I have met with President Ransdell, and we've discussed it. And I will say it's a very positive and outstanding report. And there will be a copy of the consolidated responses circulated or given to you at the end of the meeting. Next item.
Before you leave that, I would express appreciation to the board for your confidence and your support. This is the 17th one of these, and it's continues to be rewarding. And thank you for your confidence and your support and a good evaluation. Thank you.
Thank you. As you know, our bylaws require a nominating committee to convene and bring forth recommendations for the 2014-15 slate of officers for the board at the special budget meeting that will be on June 27th. And I, pursuant to the bylaws, I appoint the following members of that committee, Dr. Bale, Dr. Dennison, and Mr. Johnson. And so you all will be reporting at the meeting on the 27th. At this time, I'll call on John Austin, who hasn't had a total exit at this point. And this may not be the swan song even, right?
Well, thank you, Chairman Porter, members of the board. I would draw your attention first to pages 36 through 38 while Jeff is pulling up the PowerPoint. Only in that what Brian Russell and PDC staff have prepared this traditional report that profiles for you the construction activity on the campus at this time. It's a very superficial profile, and it's comprehensive. And my role today is really to not focus on that as a report, but more importantly on updating you of what's going to be happening in the summer of 14 on the campus, because we started preparing and planning for how we would utilize the summer months to accomplish a lot of work that is possibly done at that time with less disruption than during the academic year. On pages 39, 40, and 41 of your agenda, you have a description of the activities and plans we have in place for this summer. And I would first start with, I think I have a map. Now, if we were to take the projects, I think you have this map in your book as well, but if you take the projects we're going to be doing this summer, we have over 21 projects that total $8 million in work that will be performed this summer. And it's a busy 90 days. It starts with a high voltage project that we will be doing this summer, where you've heard us report on many times about the need for updating our infrastructure. Well, that was very much experienced recently when on March the 26th at 7:30 p.m. we had a power failure that served a Fine Arts Center, and the staff from the facilities responded immediately, and it took us until overnight and into the next day to try to assess what really had happened there. It was all localized to that building, and a 3,000-foot line that ran between a switchgear substation and that building. And so it took a while to try to analyze that, but by noon the next day, we realized that we had a very severe problem and it was going to be catastrophic in terms of cost and time to repair. So we had to come up with Plan B, which was to attach that building ahead of schedule on a temporary fix to the new infrastructure that had been placed in the music building next door. Long story short, but a team effort occurred, and I was just, I can't tell you how delighted I was with the way the team came together from planning, design, construction, facilities management. Even our police department came in with security measures, our environmental health and safety department. PGMU came to the table with a transformer that we were able to buy from them at a very bargain price and allowed us to put that temporary transformer in place and get that building back up by the following Monday at noon. We had classes the following Tuesday, so we only lost 3 days of classes in that building. We could have lost 3 weeks of classes had it not been for that creative and very successful approach, and also saved us a lot of money. That building, along with several others, will be permanently attached to the underground new system this summer, and that project alone will be $1 million. And again, that only is one more phase of many more phases we have to do. That said, looking down the list, I think you can see for yourself that there's everything from steam line repairs to street repairs. Halchins L.T. Smith Stadium will have some structural repairs. We will have lighting upgrades. Several roofs of several buildings will be done. The point is, it's a very busy summer. All of this is aimed at addressing our backlog of deferred capital renewal, or deferred maintenance as it's commonly referred to. This is going to make a big improvement on the campus. So I wanted to update you in that regard and any questions you might have in that way. All right. Then also today I wanted to give you an update on the status of how we're coming with the Downing Student Union. That photograph there was taken just this week. It gives you another exterior image of the building. The part I think you will appreciate that's changed the most, of course, is that the fencing's gone, and that the grand staircase in the front of the building has been now opened. I mean, it just opened this past week. And that's going to allow us to, as far as phase one is concerned, we have basically completed phase one is what it comes down to. We're well along, of course, in phase two. We only have 90 days to go on this project to get it all done by August. But what I wanted you to see here, just to remind you, is that's an image of where we were before the construction started. And there's the same image taken this week. So just alone, you can see how this is an incredible transformation of a project. That's an internal architectural rendering I have shared with you in the past of the grand staircase. There is the actual staircase taken a photograph just the other day. So this project, as you see, is coming along. Here's some interior finishes inside that staircase. It's going to be a photo op without a doubt at commencement or following commencement, etc. I invite you to please take your first chance to see even that part of the building because it's a grand staircase. It has a terrazzo floor in the first floor stair entry, which is just outside the Fresh Food Company, and that is all terrazzo in that seal. I mean, that's going to be a very durable, long-lasting material. That finish, that seal will be there many, many years into the future. And it's incredibly well done if it's done like this in terrazzo. When you see that up close, you'll see what I mean. Here are some additional interior finishes of the second floor atrium that you will see how, again, terrazzo is a primary use in the building and the public corridors. That back wall, I might add, is going to be coming down. That's a temporary wall that separates the construction on the other side. And I will share with you in a moment what's going on the other side. We now have service elevators for all the floors. We didn't have that before. We have some nice finishes around it. Here is another rendering, or a photograph rather, of what the building was like before the construction on the Centennial Mall side of the building. And then this is where we are now, but I noticed coming in this morning, Brian, we now have steel going up. And the point is, we're beyond that point. This was taken maybe 6 days ago, and we have really made progress. This is what it intends to be, similar view this August. So we've got a lot to do in the next 90 days. Here is an architectural rendering that you've seen before of the interior atrium on the first floor, the main floor. Here is an actual photograph of where we are. So you can see it's definitely coming together with finishes, with the lighting tubes and the ceilings, and it's open. It's going to be a beautiful atrium in the center of that building. Here is a rendering architecturally before it was started. Here is an actual photograph taken just a few days ago where we are at this time. Again, it's coming together. We're showing significant progress. I wanted you to see that some of the interior finishes are coming together. That's where we need to be. This is one of the larger third floor multipurpose rooms. It's dividable. That allows this room to be one large room or even subdivided into five rooms with partitions and panels. Another meeting room on the third floor, very needed space for that building. Once one of the most greatest demands in the programming and planning was we needed more meeting space for the building. Just another example of that space, just to let you see where we are. The career services unit moved in the spring semester. Here's their entry foyer and their lobby. And here's an example of one of their workshop rooms or teaching opportunities. Here is some more interior meeting room space. I wanted you to simply see that we're down now to finished details. This is the second floor student government senate chamber. It's coming along, and we think it's going to be a great space.
Definitely. Here better than what we had, David. We had that worse.
Here is an interior photograph of a space called the night class. I want to compliment Brian Russell's photography on this. Notice how he had the tower and Pierce Ford squared up in those windows.
Oh,
but the
good.
Point is, this is going to be a grand space. This is going to be an entertainment venue, late night opportunity for students. It's going to be a beautiful room once this room is finished out and opened in August. Restaurant you've heard about in the past called the Red Zone is again coming back and under construction. This is our sports theme and celebration area where we will have a different menu, a new menu, sit-down, menu-driven restaurant in the Student Center separate from the other venues such as the Fresh Food Company and the Food Court. This is a separate added variety to the program.
And it'll have late-night dining.
Yes, it will. It will have late-night hours. Here's a shot of where we stand at the moment with the Food Court. As you can see, we have accomplished a lot, but we still have a lot to do. But this would be the entry area off of the main lobby. This is the architectural rendering of what it's going to be like when it gets there. I will be giving you a food service update and mentioning more about that food court in that report. So there quickly is a summary of where we are with respect to projects for the summer as well as Downing Center. Also on your agenda, I believe, is an update report on our WKU restaurant group. And
while John's doing that, before you leave, the summer projects, John's being very modest. There is a tremendous amount of work targeted for the summer, and as there has been the last several summers. But you look over that list on page 39 and 40, and the map that John illustrated for you on page 41. There's just a lot of work that's going to be done from the moment commencement ends Saturday evening until students arrive in mid-August.
Absolutely.
And that's a time when we can get some things done. But boy, it's an ambitious schedule for the summer once again, and that is really a tribute to our planning, design, construction unit, Brian Russell and his team, but also to our coordination with a lot of contractors independently of each other that are going to be working together and simultaneously all over this campus. So a lot of coordination and a lot of skill goes into pulling this schedule off in half of May, June, July, and half of August.
John, is the Deer Hill Center coming in on budget?
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
Yes, it is. We're down now to some contingency remaining, but we're on budget.
Okay.
We're on budget.
Were there many change orders during the project?
The biggest one was...
This is a big project.
Yes, it is. This is the most complex, difficult project we've ever undertaken. In terms of dollars and what it took to do it. Renovating an occupied building and keeping it open at the same time adds incredible complexity, cost, and time. And so that's what made it so difficult. I mean, boy, to build one. I visited a school just south of here in Middle Tennessee that built one from ground up. And it's so different because they just started with a clean site.
Yeah.
And we are going to end up with a student center, I think, that's going to be much better than any in this region and going to be a great opportunity for when we showcase our campus to prospective parents and students and give campus tours. It's just going to be a delight to be able to watch tours go into that building. I mean, it's going to be a significant impact, I think, on all of us. Now, that said, this summer, going back to what Dr. Ransdell mentioned, the corridor that you see on your map that would be on College Heights Boulevard, starting at Van Meter and coming all the way down that corridor to Avenue of Champions to Douglas Keene Hall at Russellville Road, that corridor, that in itself is going to be an incredible transformation this summer between what we have today and what we will have in August. And the reason is that there's going to be a shared-use bike path that's going to be running at full length. And when it connects to what the city will be doing, the long-term plan is to have a shared-use bike path that will go all the way from South Campus at Nicely Center to the river. Okay? But this is a big part of that. This project will have a bike path that will connect to an existing one that's already in place on the other side of University Boulevard. My point is that the bike path, the curbs, the sidewalks, the lighting, the removal of the Topper Cafe on the south lawn and restoration of that site, and those street lights that are on, the Cobra Head lights that are on the poles down below the Downing Center, is going to all go away and be replaced with our campus standard lighting, which will improve not only the aesthetic and the appearance and the lighting and the safety, but it will be a much improved environmental improvement because of what we're using. The point is that when you remove all that fencing in front of the Downing Center, which is coming away now, add the landscaping that's coming, the fencing that's going to be in the south lawn with columns, it's going to be a monumental improvement this fall when all those come together. So that's the corridor that to me is going to have the most attention this summer.
John's getting ready to get into food.
Yes.
And there are a few things more important for incoming students than what they eat and the environment in which they eat it. And the quality of life for students on our campus has been a priority for us. We had, in 1997, we had a couple cafeterias on campus.
We did. In two locations.
We don't have cafeterias and dining halls anymore. We have campus restaurants, and we are keeping pace. In fact, we are shaping the curve, certainly in this region of the country, and with our partnership with Aramark. And this is a 20-year timeline for that partnership that's going around here. But it's big business, and it's important business, and you don't recruit students unless they come and understand the quality of life that they'll have here. And this is an important part of it.
Housing and dining are incredibly important to student recruitment, and we have, in the last years, incredibly improved both. We have invested in both, and it now adds value to the campus. This is a pamphlet that they're using for their marketing and promotion. When we have all these activities on campus for recruiting students and we mail this out, this is an important part element of that. This timeline that I've passed around and got up on the board here is simply to let you get an idea of the changes and the transformation the dining program had gone through. In 1997, Garrett and Downing Center were the only two places you could get food on this campus. We now have, of course, food all over the campus in a variety of locations. To illustrate that, you couldn't see it in the slide. That's why I'm passing the board around. In 1997, our gross sales in the dining program was $3.7 million. Last year, our gross sales in the dining program was $16.1 million. That's a $12 million increase in 16 years in gross sales. I mean, that doesn't happen unless you are doing something right to improve and reinvest in the program. With Dr. Ransdell's leadership in terms of allowing the auxiliary program to retain what it creates in terms of surplus each year financially, they have reinvested. And what this timeline illustrates is that every year there has been some form of an improvement added to the program that gives you that diversity and that improvement every year to retain meal plan holders. You got to have excitement. It can't be the same thing. It's got to be quality, it's got to be diversified, it's got to be relocated where you want it. That takes investment. So all that has come from the profits in the dining program were put back in it to allow the growth. Growth will allow the quality, and it's going to. After we add back into the program the red zone and the food court we're just talking about in this program, this will be a $20 million account in 2 years. One of the biggest in this region of the country. Anyway,
you have this map. Mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go. You can see there that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 locations now where food is available. And, you know, I would have you here half a day if I was to go through and tell you everything that's going on in all 7 of those locations, so I won't. I'll just highlight a few things. The Fresh Food Company that opened last fall We knew it was going to be a success, but it's been a significant success. In other words, the increase in customer counts is up 16% over the previous year when we had, you know, the Topper Cafe temporary building. But, you know, there's been renown returned to the Fresh Food Company. The balconies are increasing in their use and popularity that's associated with it. Starbucks, we knew was going to be a success. Well, it has. I mean, we went into this thinking it was. We knew it was going to be a home run. It is doing financially well. The outside balcony will also be a plus for it. Of course, the wireless internet and all that goes with that. This has been a very successful location for us this year. I mentioned Popeye's only in that it's in the Pierce Ford Tower food court. It's been there since 2008. It was the first Popeye's brand on a college campus in America. And I just wanted you to know that it's continuing to be a successful location and the anchor in the PFT food court, which is the building just on the south end of campus. Inside that same food court is a juice blends that was added this past fall, and it has also been very successful in that it has, of course, the serves the freshies and the smoothies and the fruit. It's been very popular. Einstein Bagels, that's in this building just below us, has been also a very successful location. And just this past semester, we've extended the hours due to student request, and we've found that to be a successful result. So it's been open till 2 a.m. here in the recent past, but it's been doing also for the program a very good location. Einstein's Bagels is pretty broad in their circulation across the country. They do training here in our facility for that facility. In other words, we do so well with the way it's operated, they come here and do training. Panda Express, as you know, opened last year in Garrett Conference Center. Its business has been to be successful. It's obviously increased in even its sophomore year by 9.1%. Talked to you earlier about the fact that we're going to be removing the Topper Cafe building. Not only are we removing it, it's already sold. So it's going to be removed. That site will be restored, and we will have turf on that site by August.
Wonderful.
In the food court itself, we will have three major brands that we know students like. Steak and Shake happens to be the new addition to the food court. It'll be the first Steak and Shake on a college campus in America. That's an interesting twist. They are delighted to be here. They're delighted to be here in partnership with us and with Aramark. But this will be a significant improvement for our food court. The other venue next door to it in the food court is going to be a full, not an express, but a full menu Chick-fil-A. Next dip will be a Papa John's. We already know from student input that these are going to be incredibly successful locations added to our variety and menu. Also, as I previously mentioned, the Red Zone will be reopening. It's going to have a sports theme, but here's to give you a taste and a flavor for some of the flavor. The flooring in much of this area is going to be a basketball court with a jump circle. It will have athletic department is partnering with us to bring in all kinds of photograph posters, trophies, banners, uniforms. It will have booths. There will be a row of booths in the back. That each booth will have its own television. And John Osborne could not build a restaurant without television. There will be large televisions everywhere. Added also in the last year to the program, I think is a tremendous enhancement, is that we have a registered dietitian on staff full-time who has implemented a program known as the Healthy for Life Education Program, focusing on diets that are important to people who would like vegan or vegetarian. We want to make sure we have diversity in the program, and this dietitian has been a tremendous asset to that effort. much. My report's.
Thank you. That's very impressive.
I do have a question about is that how what efforts have been made to help integrate international tastes with the dining campus? Is there certain locations that are popular with international students or?
How does
we spoke about this last night, wanted to bring it to the board.
Stand up, Steve.
But one of the things with a large inflow of international students, which we're having, is give them a taste of home, or if they have special diets, whatever they would be. Halal is kind of one that we've been working on. Now, unbeknownst to us, and I found out earlier in the semester that Popeyes is halal certified. So we have a very big international crowd that goes down to Popeyes.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't know it, but I mean, they were smarter than me, so I guess it's why the students, but anyhow. So we do know that, and the International Cafe is opening in August of 15, and there's another opportunity for us to do that, and we are looking into opportunities in August of 14, to see what we can do to integrate in what we also have had various highlights in an Indian menu. We're having lamb for Easter. So, I mean, we are trying to help them out as far as some of their taste with halal. It's kind of an interesting dynamic if you go into it, because you have to have certain cuts of meat, you have to be prepared certain ways, you have to have dishes that are blessed and stuff. So there's a lot of moving pieces to it. So we're happy that we can at least provide one, and we're looking to see what we can do in the future to make things a little more homey for it, so to speak, as I say.
Steve is our Aramark contract manager. That may not be your exact title.
Resident district manager.
Here you go. Just does a great job of fully integrating the Aramark staff with our staff, and our students don't know who works for who, and that's just fine. The bottom line is what's best for our students.
It's just like the dietitian. I mean, we know that I don't do across the street athletics, but she's been working with volleyball, football, basketball coaches, and their team members so that they can, you know, right, make wise choices along with the regular students. So, not that they're not regular students, but just so that, you know, and that's how I work, is that, you know, we're all helping students.
Thank you very much.
Before we leave the executive committee report, Kiana, I think you've got an introduction to make.
Oh, yes. Today's meeting, Nikki C. is the new Student Government Association president, if you want to stand up. Nikki served as our administrative vice president this past year in SGA, and our elections were just last week, actually, April 8th and 9th, and so she was elected as the new SGA president. So she'll be the new regent in July, at the July retreat.
Welcome, Nikki. In a packet that I just sent out Wednesday evening, which I don't know if you have received or not, you should have received it by now, but not only is the final enrollment report, but also Nikki's resume and information is in there as well. So if you haven't received that, it should be waiting for you when you get back to your home or office. I'm not sure where it was. Should have been FedExed Wednesday evening.
That concludes the executive committee report.